What's up, everybody? It's your girl Keisha from Put Your Phone Down Podcast. I'm not gonna hold nobody because I got some greatness on the line, and we said we was gonna wrap it up in 30 minutes. And it's when I tell y'all, listen, I have a platinum producer, a gifted platinum producer, I should say. I'm gonna tell you when I stumbled across him. Thank God for social media. I have to give credit, and you know what? I'm gonna have to find his name. It's a guy that's gone viral, and I know that I wrote his name down, but I started seeing this producer's work on his skits. And at first, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm hearing Am I Living in Vain by the phenomenal Clark Sisters, but it was a mashup. I felt myself like bobbing my head. And the more I went down the rabbit hole, it placed me right in front of the phenomenal producer. And of course, I'm like, okay, I got to get him on the podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I have the gifted God's producer, platinum producer, Mr. Gavin Maestro on the line. Good afternoon, Mr. Gavin.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
So listen, as I talked to you like I was like a big geeked out fan, but that's because that's because you know what? These mashups. Now, first off, you were around before the mashups. As I'm doing my work on you, you've been a pretty busy man with all this body of work. But the mashups is kind of what I want to put out there first, if you don't mind.
Of
And
course, of course.
where did this inspiration come from? Because you showing out with first off, Am I Living in Vain? And you tweaked it. You know, anybody that follows you, they see you at your keyboard going hard. But where did this inspiration come from?
Well, I was doing the go-go show on live. It was R&B and hip hop, and I would mash up, certain records together that didn't go, but they went, but they worked. And I did one gospel one. Somebody had sent me something some guy had did, and it just didn't sound right, because a lot of times I think DJs just put two records together regardless of the sound or whatever. And I'm kind of, since I'm a musician, I can't stand that. Kind of irks my nerves. So I kind of did the Living in Vain one, and probably like a week later, it just went viral for no. I was like, oh, okay. And just kept on doing them. I grew up in the church. I'm a church boy anyway. So I just kind of wanted to start the year off before any R&B and hip hop. I kind of wanted to start the year off with just gospel music and just being thankful for another year of life. So that's kind of how it came to be.
Listen, you definitely doing his work is I might have the scripture wrong, but I'm since you said you a church boy, if you remember, you can humbly correct me, but I know it says for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. And when I tell you that's what you're doing, 2024 is definitely not to say the other years wasn't, but it seemed like you've tapped into I want to say a dying art. You know, a lot of the times we move away from gospel music. And some people, and I got to give a shout out to Kirk Franklin. I know he mentioned on one of the shows I was watching when he was coming through all the scrutiny he had to face because he was still singing about the Lord, but everybody kind of wanted it to still sound the same. I know with these mashups, like we got Higher, okay? Well, you blending that in, we'll put your hands where my eyes can see by Busta. And I'm hearing a little C Murda up in there. that's tight, by the way. But are you dealing with any kind of backlash from the church community?
I heard a I saw a couple of people that, said stuff. I try not to let it bother me. Because God is love, and then it's a lot of more people that I've seen it kind of bring closer to God. So it's kind of like, you know, people, younger people want to hear something different. I prefer old school church music, but I understand the younger generation is not really into that, or they weren't even born into that. So I just wanted to make music that, you know, I thought they would have not just young people, but an opportunity for it to shine some kind of light, just like other music, you know?
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm in my 40s. And right. So I'm far from the young folk, but I know it brings me to at least listening. And I like you, I feel closer to God, you know, when I'm listening to it, because I know what the intent is behind that.
Right. That was the whole point.
So we got Vane. We got I got so many that I want to question you about. This is one that I'm assuming might rub some folks the wrong way. The Between Melodies. Now, Between Melodies is mashed up with In Between the Sheets by the fabulous Isley Brothers. So how did that come about?
Just like, again, I just listen to songs and they got to make sense. I just don't put anything together. You know, you could really play that melody behind it. And, you know, also he had already used, what is it? Anniversary by Tony on the bridge of the song. So it wasn't like he hadn't already did it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people know the song, then they can't act like they ain't never listened to it before. It's, you know, again, some people have to hear the music first and then they listen to the words. And then, you know, you're not just, most of the people in church now, they, you know, it's a whole different world. A lot of them came from the clubs. A lot of them dress different. They act different. They ain't getting church the same way everybody else did. So I just wanted to get them, you know, some music, a fighting chance, or something they would want to hear. So, you know, I'm used to taking a lot of criticism. I'm a church boy, but then I'm also a preacher's kid. So, I'm used to people outside of my parents having something to say, you know? So it don't really bother me too much, not too much.
It's really about the tough skin, because, you know, you find some people in the music world, and especially the gospel music world. Again, I'll go back to Kirk Franklin. I'll go back to Mary, when they came out with Shackles. And that is really, honestly, you know, I had kind of fell off from going to church, but Shackles actually made me want to tip back into church.
Right.
But only, you know, to see that it was some critical people in church that hated to see how music was changing, but they didn't realize it was bringing the younger people back.
Right.
So I know that, you know, we go veer off a little bit, if you don't mind, from your music. And since we want to talk about the young folks, the beginning of the year, there was basically, you know, you had your critical people. I saw a full church, a full house, and they began to play Swag Surf and other music. And of course, people who probably haven't entered church in thousands of years had their things to say. What was your opinion when and if you saw that?
It was touchy. I think the words may have touched people the wrong way. The words of the song. Mm-hmm. You know, he probably could have did without the words.
Maybe had the instrumental going.
Yeah, you know, but then again, I can't really tell that man how to, you know, keep his church. And then the same thing is, most of them was going to go to the club after they leave his church anyway. So, you know, this may have forced some of them not to go nowhere. And I mean, I know you kind of got to set apart both, but that just comes with time and maturity. I mean, his church not lacking from what it looks like. So I think a lot of people are putting their mouths on something that don't even belong to them. And it just become a point now, most people that's criticizing, you know, what is it going to change for them to criticize? If you feel that way, don't let your church do it. Or exactly. Don't be around it. Like, I can't fault a person for how they want to get people in the church. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I looked at. I mean, you know how long it's been since I've seen on TV, you know, a full church where it looked like everybody was having a good time of all ages, you know?
Right.
And that's what it is. Like you said, ain't nobody perfect on this phone and off this phone. Nah. It's been plenty of people who left the church and, like you said, hit up a club and did whatever they wanted to do. I think that for me, I think it's about still keeping the word instilled in people. You gonna get lost in the world anyway. But right. As long as you're putting that word inside of people, that's what I saw. Like you said, maybe it could have been an instrumental, but at the end of the day, I feel like some people kind of twisted the meaning. A full house of church and young folk, that's what we trying to do.
Right.
You know? Right. So it brings me back to your music. So, okay, now I got The Room, season one. Correct. I got Red Elephant. I got all these other things I wrote down. I wrote it down, can't even understand my own handwriting. But before these mashups, there was you putting out work, okay? I want to kind of get into who you are, you know? What made you pick up music? I know you mentioned church. Were you into a lot of instruments in the church? And what led you to being God's producer, like right now, the Gavin that we see? So what was your childhood like?
Musician, when birthed a musician. My mother was a music teacher. Just kind of, I've been doing music all my life. I still play on the organ every Sunday, still. But I like, as I got older, I moved to North Carolina from Philadelphia and in college. And I just had heard of this producer and then just started producing records. And I was already a rapper. Then I started singing and just kind of made my way to the industry, did a lot of good records industry wise, still do. And then started doing TV shows probably the last 2 years, like The Shy, BMF, Mike Tyson, Raising Kanan, Power, all those. Started to get into that. So I was probably did like 12 TV shows in the past year. So just kind of always like music. So I always like working. It was a thing for me.
The arts is in your blood. I think you left out singing because it was one song. I'm like, wait a minute, let me find out that you singing. So I think you left singing off the map too. And you know, I do have to say, shout out to your mom. I'm hearing her on one of your songs speak so highly of you, and I just thought that was beautiful. I believe that's because I care. Yeah. And she's speaking so eloquently into you and of you. And I just think that is so awesome when you can have a parent jump on and without a beat go into who she knows her son is. So this is great.
Right.
So I know you mentioned rapping. Was this gospel rap or what kind of rap was this?
I didn't even believe in gospel rap. I'm still not a fan, be honest with you.
But, okay.
No, I just like rapping. I like music, period. I wasn't a big, I've always been competitive with myself and others. So it's kind of like, if it can be done, I want to do it. I just knew the gospel mashup thing. It's kind of like my first of the month offering. And, you know, before I do everything else, because people going to take, I'm going to take some hits in a minute. You know what I mean? When they hear R&B again. But, you know, that's my job. God is my life. So, you know, I think Because you always have people say, well, no, you should just do church and that's it. And, you know, if that happens, that happens. If it don't, it don't change my belief in God. You know, I think people want how they feel your life should go. And I've just never been one to really care to listen to how everybody else felt about stuff like that.
So you hit on a great topic. When you said you think people want you to be basically what they want you to be. And it was crazy. We were just kind of talking in another interview I had about people wanting to box you in. And I personally don't think, and it doesn't sound like you do either, that we are meant to be boxed in. You know, the things that we do in life make us who we are. We know who we are through the things that we do, you know. And I think what I look at is you being a risk taker and even making the mashups and knowing that it probably won't be well received, but it's a large portion over here, Mr. Gavin, that is in full support of what you got going on.
I've seen.
We clowning. Like when I started seeing it being viral and like I said, I found out, I thought it was somebody who was just made it, you know, but when I found out the person behind it, I was like, oh no, this is a thing. You know, so how does it make you feel that you bringing people, honestly, you bringing people closer to God? And I know that that's what you said music does for you. How does it make you feel if you see a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old making dance challenges and whatnot to something that you mashed up?
It get a little hectic because, again, you know, when they see you doing R&B, then they, you know, it's almost like you taking them back. And it's kind of just like a thing for me. I know it's a lot of responsibility. I kind of won't looking for it, you know. But we'll see. What I don't allow myself to do is to, I'm a widower. I am a man that was married for almost 10 years. Well, almost 9. I was with her for 10. She died. I needed stuff to do. So I made myself very busy. So being that I am back in a dating world after almost 2 years, it's kind of like my mind be so focused on trying to figure out how to deal with this. I don't really, the music, that's kind of like me putting on clothes is just what I do. I don't think about it too much. Right. I really don't. I just hope people enjoy. No, actually, I enjoy it. So I know people gonna enjoy it. I just try not to make a big deal about it.
Right.
Because I know, you know, besides whether it's gospel music, hip-hop, R&B, country, anything. The biggest thing is this is a drug. And sometimes the fame part about it can really go to your head. So I don't really, because I've been in the music business so long now, I kind of can keep a level head and just, you know, keep working.
And that's what it looked like you doing. I like how you switched it around and said, no, I enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, as long as it's bringing you peace,
yeah,
and, you know, prayers to you and your family as you being a widower. And I do apologize for that. But hats off to you for pushing through, you know, every day, whether it's putting yourself through music or, like you said, getting into your acting chops. You pushing through. So look, for everybody who feel like it's impossible, I have somebody on the line right now that's letting you know, put one foot in front of the other, you know. Yeah. So I want to tell you, you know, congratulations in just trying to walk through life. Okay. We don't know what it's gonna bring, but just hats off to you for that. And I like, again, I like how you said, you know, put out what you love.
Right.
And you can drop that mic because it doesn't matter.
Correct. 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 So, yeah, so, I enjoy this.
I want to also get into the acting. I mean, you named some things and I'm like, yo, I was so busy into the music world. So how did this acting come about?
Well, I hadn't acting though. I actually have songs and all of
those. Oh, songs features on your stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm speaking acting into existence or something.
Well, I did shoot a series that we had on Facebook called The Burrow.
Okay.
And I was acting in that, but it was something that I put out a couple of, maybe about 7-8 years ago. It got an award or two, but I just like to work. I love to work. If it can be something that I think is innovative, I'm willing to try it. And I knew this. I knew people had did the mashups, and I had did them before, even with gospel music, but I knew, again, everybody that was doing them, they didn't really put the time in to make sure the records really made sense. They just put two beats together and said, okay, here we go. And because we didn't have anything else to listen to, we had to just say, oh, that was nice. And, you know, not taking it away from them, but I just wanted it to be something that you could actually hear, or the actual artist could go on stage and say, you know what, with the band, say, look, let's try it this way. So I wanted it to be twofold. I wanted it, well, threefold. I wanted it to be something I like, and maybe the artist would hear and want to try, and, you know, something that actually made sense together. So that was the point behind it.
You told that up in all of them. So I wanted to ask, while we on this topic, you know, about the mashups and seeing if we can speak to anybody who has a dream as far as being a producer and as far as thinking that it's quick. You know, a lot of these social platforms really and truly make you believe everything happens to you quickly. As you mash up these songs, can you tell me what's, you know, the legal things that you have to do for them to sign off on it? And to my young people that want to get into producing, can you explain to them the ins and outs of that?
Well, the legal part, I don't have the right, but it's ways around it. You can change the keys to record. I'm not using the actual key to the record. So it's kind of like a new song when you change keys sometimes. The only thing you run across is maybe now the lyrics, which is a separate thing. And the other part is you gotta put stuff out. Like I always said, if somebody wanted to sue me, I'd probably get happy, because it's like, that mean it worked. It made that much noise. But, you know, with production, it definitely don't come easy. You kind of just got to keep going. And now that I didn't have social media to get in this business, now that you have it, you just have to be consistent and intentional and putting out stuff. They used to have it where you wait this many days or this many months and then prepare people for the album and you get excited. Now, while you trying to do that, it's like 30 songs that done came out already. So it's like, you got to be consistent and intentional. So to every producer, I would just tell them, you know, really study your craft and work hard. Like, I'm a hard worker. So, yeah, just study your craft and put your videos up. You got a phone. Don't make it bigger than what it is. Like, it don't have to be as complicated as most people make it. Just do it.
And love what you do. Like you said, like when you put your love into it, can't nobody tell you nothing.
No.
You know?
No.
So in wrapping up, like I said, is I'm so excited at this point. I'm stuttering, which is something I hardly ever do, but this has got me like, you know, this has got me in my zone. I want you to tell the people where they can find you, you know, because you blowing up, brother. Like you are blowing up. So where can we find you in the social media world?
You can find me on Facebook at Gavin Maestro. You can find Gavin Maestro also on Instagram, and probably Gavin Maestro or Gav Beats on TikTok. And yeah, you can find me there. And I'll be working on some different stuff. I think I'm going to do a live maybe in February or March for everybody to see a lot of the songs done. I'm going to do like a whole DJ thing or a go-go thing. I hadn't decided yet, but I'm going to try to put it together where it makes sense for everybody to be able to see.
This is about to be dope. You know what? You go break this internet. You go break the internet. No, this you already are, like, for real. Like, when I tell you, I started seeing your work, and it got to a point where it was like, if I was watching reels on social media, it would be your song, your song, your song, like back to back. I was like, yo, wait a minute. So, you know, I'm looking forward to where this takes you, you know, because I see already it got feet, it's running. Is Flojo, is all of them, okay? I didn't get a chance to name all of your work, but you got Red Elephant, Hopeless Romantic. We got God's Producer, AJ, Face, Help It, and The Room Part 2. So you got The Room Part 2 and
Part 1 and 2. Yeah.
Part 1 and 2, yeah. You just, you know, again, in doing your resume, it looked like you have not stopped. You've been coming in swinging, and that's exactly what you told the audience. You just have to keep going, be consistent, and be intentional. That's what I heard. So, Mr. Gavin, this has been just for real, like a dream come true. I know, look, I ain't mean to wear that inbox out, but you know,
no, you good.
I like
you
the good. By the third time, I was like, look, I hate to be a pest because this ain't even me. But I have been known to go after what I want. So
you're supposed to.
For real. I don't sleep well at night unless I do. So we have, ladies and gentlemen, the platinum producer whose work is like all over the world. The Lord is using him for his gifts.
If
you don't know him, get to know him. He has all the social platforms. Mr. Gavin, I'm about to let you know right now, as soon as this interview ends, I'm about to tag you like we best friends. So just get ready to be like, look, stop bothering me. But no, seriously, you guys, I need you to find his work, share it. Listen to it. This is a family thing. This is one mashup that you can listen to with your kids, you know, and you can make these memories together, you know. In listening to the Clark sisters, you can definitely introduce easily the Clark sisters to a 3-year-old because it's just a vibe. So you bringing families together too. You know, this is what we can play at the family reunion without having to turn it down, you know.
I appreciate it.
You bringing family and friends and everybody together just because you allowed the Lord to use you. So listen, growing up in the church did not pass you by. I thank you so much. I thank you so much for hopping on the podcast. Before everybody start knocking at your door, we got to get a part two. Okay. I'm already putting it out there.
No question.
Okay. So, everybody, I want you to go ahead and give Mr. Gavin Maestro your love by going liking everything on his page, by sharing this good music, by introducing your babies, your teens, whoever, to the work that he putting out, because you can honestly tell that he loves it. When you go on his page, you go see him at that keyboard. And like he said, he's going live. What, next month you said? So
hopefully either next month or probably next month though, maybe.
Okay. Well, if it's not next month, we can still vibe to your work. Correct. So whenever you decide to drop it. So again, I honestly want to thank you for squeezing time in for Put Your Phone Down podcast. This was a fun interview, Mr. Gavin, and I want to thank you again. We got to talk about the next time Muffin 9 and all these other projects that you got out here. Like I said, shit. Oh, I almost cursed, Lord. You see, I almost made it. I almost made it without cursing. But I didn't. Okay. So, but no, you have such a large body of work that, like I said, you come back, don't you be a stranger. And I will definitely start making my rounds and sharing your work as well. So
no question.
Okay. Thank you. And you guys, I want to thank you for listening to Put Your Phone Down podcast. I got Mr. Gavin Maestro, the platinum producer, God's producer, on the line. You guys, and until the meantime, put your phone down and have a good one.